Political polarization and competing narratives about the pandemic have rippled through our society, including our schools. In with analysis is Nate Bauer, who directs the University of Alaska Press.
It seems clearer by the day that we live in an open, dynamic, free society. And one of the results of that is that as a country, we're thinking about things in pretty dramatically different ways. And we're even using different sets of interpreted facts, especially in the face of a virus pandemic that has secondary effects for public programs and education. I think it has drawn out and extended and made more difficult the process of dealing with the direct challenge, this public health crisis. We've largely got private businesses open, and to a large extent, public schools are closed. And it seems like there's growing consensus among scientists and doctors around the world that that's actually kind of the opposite of the way to recover from the health challenge. What we should be doing is having schools open or doing everything that we can to make in-person learning as accessible as possible and as frequent as possible while trying to limit the spread, especially between adults outside of schools. Gym owners or owners of bars and restaurants, all things that I really love. I don't want to make any of them mad, but it seems like the restrictions that we can bear as a community, that's maybe where the focus for those restrictions should be in order to make in-person learning possible and as safe as possible. Because it's not just education, which I think that we all still value as a society. It's not just education that suffers. Schools provide so much more in terms of an in-person experience. Socialization, food, actual physical resources for students that might not get that elsewhere or have a more difficult time getting it elsewhere. And I think we all think about this as something temporary, the changes that COVID has caused in the K-12 system, in the university system, and elsewhere. But I think that we stretch that temporary period out. It can keep going on until there's a widespread and widely administered vaccine, and we also limit the spread of the virus amongst the community first, then it's just going to get drawn out further.
The point you're raising is, if we can't agree on a basic set of facts or what constitutes actual knowledge, how can we as a society operate? Some people take it extremely seriously. There's another segment of our society that doesn't believe in it and is free to have a laissez-faire approach towards public health.
This is the downside, I think, of people that argue for very little and very limited government. You know, you want government to have an active, coordinated response across local, regional, community, state, and federal government. And I think that since the beginning, we've seen not an accidental failure of that coordinating effect, but actually kind of an intentional one. I think that the president has said that out loud, that he wants the states to be on their own, and he doesn't think that the federal government should play much of a role in communication and in terms of coordinating. And this seems to me, anyway, like the exact wrong time to be taking that kind of approach. Now, you know, we could have reasonable arguments about exactly how big government should be. But when it comes to things like public education and public health, that those are, I think, things that we all still value as a society and probably could describe in detail why those things are important, no matter where we lay on the ideological spectrum. And I think it would be hard to argue that both of those things, public health and public education, haven't experienced significant challenges directly because of COVID and the federal government's response to it.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press. I'm Robert Hannon.